Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about variations in cancer care. And this is variations based on what county you were living in. Because the Cancer Society says delays in cancer care for breast, lung and prostate patients are causing avoidable deaths, with some people in some counties much more impacted than others. Like, for instance, the target for referrals to urgent breast disease clinics is to have 95% of people seen within 10 days. That sounds good. But if you're in Letterkenny and Donegal, the rate was 59.8%. It's great news if you're in Limerick. 97% were seen, and 100% in Waterford. So what do these postcode delays mean for the people who are impacted? Ziva's with me on the line today. Ziva, did you deal with delays?
I did, yes. I was left waiting like 7.5 months for my ultrasound after attending the breast clinic. So that was an extremely long wait, and I don't think anyone should be left waiting that long, you know. Cost lives, you know, delays cost lives.
So you obviously found something, did you, Ziva, that you wanted to get checked out?
Yeah, I found a lump in early 2023, and I went to my GP and got referred from there to the breast clinic. And I think it was about 5 weeks I was waiting until the time I went into the breast clinic. And I was then given a quick examination in person and told that I left there feeling everything was okay, you know. And I knew that they had kind of said about an ultrasound. So I said okay and left that appointment. And I didn't get my letter in the door for the ultrasound until July of 2023. And my appointment wasn't until October 2023. So, yeah, in the time frame, I was left waiting 7.5 months from the time I was in the breast clinic for an ultrasound, which could have been done in, you know, 10 minutes and should have been done, I believe, on that day to rule out, you know, breast cancer. It could have been, you know, completely different if it had been caught early, I believe, you know.
So, you know, when I just mentioned those targets there from the National Cancer Centre, then this is sort of in this analysis that they've concluded of wait times, and they talk about 95% of people being seen within 10 days. But for your initial consultation, it was a 5 week wait, and then resulting in a 7.5 month wait in total.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I do think, you know, because I was so young, you know, 21, I think, you know, I was seen as, oh, she's maybe not as urgent and not as important because of her age. I think that was a big factor. And, you know, that's why, you know, I am now advocating for younger women in, you know, that younger age, because we do get dismissed. And we've set up a campaign called Too Young to Be Heard, Niamh Noonan, myself and Murren. And that's to just highlight this issue around, you know, younger women maybe being, you know, dismissed. Because I know if you go and you're a 50-year-old woman, you're going to get, you know, your triple assessment on the day. Whereas if you're not in that cohort, you're going to, well, for like me, I didn't get the triple assessment.
And cancer knows no barriers around age, Ziva, as well, you know.
Yeah. Cancer does not discriminate against age. And we're just seeing like an increase in younger women getting cancer.
So you set up the Too Young to Be Heard group along with other women in and around your age group because of your experience.
Yeah, as you know, a campaign to raise awareness. Yes, from our experiences, we all wanted to, this is one thing that we really wanted to highlight. And we want to collect other young women's stories and then highlight them as well, and hopefully present them to the Minister for Health to kind of show, you know, that kind of age cohort and the increasing numbers. And a lot of these women have mentioned delays and being told, you know, oh, they're too young, or, you know, yeah.
So after the 7.5 months, right, so you finally got to the point of you've got the referral from your GP to the clinic and you've got the ultrasound and they've found something that they want to biopsy. What's the next process? How long did the next step take, Ziva, at that stage?
Yeah, so I got a biopsy then 2 days later. So I think they knew something wasn't right and I was in a lot of pain. So as well, you know, I had to phone up earlier to get into that. I managed to get a cancellation. And so from the biopsy then, I was waiting 2 weeks and found out that it was breast cancer, invasive ductal carcinoma. And then I think it was maybe 2 weeks later, I came back in and they suspected that it was also in my bones, which made it stage 4. And then I started treatment in about December. I think it was just the start of December, with everything, other tests I had to do, and to confirm that it was definitely in the bones with a biopsy and stuff. That's why it took a little bit longer. So, yeah, from October, it was not till start of December I started my actual treatment.
Yeah. How did the treatment go, Ziva?
Treatment, I started on hormonal treatments, and I'd been through all the kind of hormone treatments at that time that was to offer to me, and fortunately they weren't working, just not responding. The cancer wasn't responding enough to it, and then I went on an oral chemo tablet, also cancer wasn't responding, and now I'm on intravenous chemo called Enhertu, so I'm just hoping that that's doing something for me. I'll find out hopefully soon if it is or not, and if not, I'd say it'll be another chemo, you know, to try. So just take every day as it comes for me.
And you know, and look, you're in the, I suppose, the throes of this now, and you're going through obviously the treatment, and as you say, there'll be a couple of more weeks and months perhaps even to go with this, but I can't begin to imagine what the waiting around, you know, the waiting does for you and others.
Yeah, it definitely costs lives. Like, I'm stage 4, so this is incurable breast cancer, and it'll be ongoing treatment, you know, forever, you know, that kind of way, until it stops working. And obviously finding treatment that hopefully works is the aim for me, because, you know, it'll allow me to keep using the treatment for a longer period of time rather than going through so many. So, you know, yeah, I do think, you know, the cost, it does cost lives, you know, 7.5 months waiting for an ultrasound, and then to, you know, to start getting treatment, you know, I find it hard to believe that that wouldn't have made a difference to, you know.
I know, it's hard to know,
situation.
But it's certainly, even just for anyone's mindset, it can't help. And I can imagine the frustration that must come with that. Ziva, will you stay with me? And thank you for sharing that story with us today, because it's something you're going through at the moment, and I know that's not easy. Patricia McKeever is with us. Patricia's the head of services at the ARC Cancer Support Centre. Like, we've just heard Ziva's first-hand account, Patricia, of what she's dealing with right now, but the impact of wait times must be very frustrating for people.
Yeah, I can only echo what Ziva has so eloquently said there. I mean, we have clients coming to our door and calling an email on the day of diagnosis, and it's just the shock and disbelief that they experience at that time. And I suppose when you get news such as that, the question a lot of people ask is, what now? What's next? And they ask that of ARC, and they're also asking that of their team. When the system works, they're given a pathway. People are given an orientation of what's going to happen next. So it fills that gap. But when there's delays, there's a vacuum there. So huge fear begins to grow for people and for clients. And fear is that, you know, is there something else wrong? Is the cancer going to worsen while I'm waiting? You know, and then that can translate into lots of anger and confusion. And all this can, you know, really leave people very vulnerable to psychological distress. And we see that with our clients coming through when there is even slight delays, you know, if things have been pushed back a week. So I can only imagine what people may be experiencing longer term delays that Ziva has spoken about there. I suppose what we try to do in ARC is provide supports where they can come and speak, so that vacuum isn't left, that they can articulate those feelings that they're having, that they can speak to someone around that to be able to, I suppose, manage that voice, that those thoughts that we have when we're left in a vacuum, when we're left with no answers or left waiting for supports or services.
There's a text here from a listener who says, I'm in my 50s. I had my first mammogram just 10 weeks ago due to pain and lumps. They called me and said I needed a second mammogram and an ultrasound, which I still now haven't received. As they said, the radiologist only does 2 mornings a week. And there's a long waiting list. This was actually at a private hospital, Patricia, says this texter.
Yeah. And I can't speak to any of the hospitals. Mm. I can only speak to what we in ARC can do. And that feeling of waiting, you know, what we can do is provide support to people about that. We're there from day of diagnosis. We're actually there from anyone who's maybe at a genetic risk of cancer as well. You know, our supports are completely open. They're completely free for people to access you know, and I think that's the important thing is if people need support, we're here for
them.
Yeah, you're there to help them. For that emotional, emotional support and, you know, peer support as well, because cancer can be very isolating for people. You know, Ziva was speaking there and she used words, I'd say, that she had to learn and know. So people are put into a whole new world when they receive a cancer diagnosis. And, you know, for some, friends and family may not be able to understand that world because they haven't experienced. And we would have peer support groups that people can come to and speak to and reduce some of that isolation that can happen with a cancer diagnosis.
Do you mind, Ziva, me asking, and you don't need to say necessarily what hospital, but perhaps you might indicate what part of the country you access treatment, just even what region you're in?
Yeah, it was in Dublin, and I know I've probably mentioned the name before, but yeah, so I think a lot of it is to do with staff, you know, not having enough staff and, you know, certain machines not working and this and that, and they understand that, and I, you know, but I also think it's not good enough because, you know, we need just the HSE to do better and to help, you know, get these things, you know, or get more staff, because it's just not good enough that it, you know, could be potentially costing people their lives.
And that's what the Irish Cancer Society are saying. I mean, it's a pretty damning analysis if you look at the figures that they're talking about today. You know, and I mentioned the 95% target of seeing people within 10 working days. This was between, we'll say, March of last year and just last February. You know, the matter in Dublin fell short of this, 28.5%. At St James's, the number was as low as 54%. By comparison, the top performers, University Hospital Waterford, Beaumont in Dublin, Galway University Hospital, according to these figures today, Letterkenny ranked near the bottom at 59%. And if your air code is going to dictate the type of care and the speed at which you're going to get it, I can understand completely why people would be infuriated by this. Niamh is with me on the line. Niamh, what's your story with delays? Is Niamh there? Can you hear me, Niamh? Have I got Niamh?
Niamh,
how are you?
Hiya. So I was waiting about 12 weeks for my urgent referral, which was supposed to be 10 days. So
12 weeks for the urgent referral.
Yeah. So, and I had been to the breast clinic before that. So I felt little pea-sized lumps in my left breast in the April in 2023. And I went to my GP and I was seen within a few weeks. Went to the breast clinic and they put it down to thick breast tissue, and all I got was a physical examination. I didn't get an ultrasound. And then about 6 months later, I felt just massive golf ball size lumps in my same breast and in my armpit. And I went back to my GP and I said, this can't be right. And she said, if it's the same breast, let's send you for an urgent referral. And I waited 12 weeks for that urgent referral. And over that 12 weeks, my symptoms, you know, they started evidently showing and became so massive that, you know, I thought, oh God, is this the signs and symptoms of breast cancer? And I was eventually seen and I was stage 3 then, but it infuriates me because if I was diagnosed back then when I felt it initially and I had got a proper scan, like would I have been in a different stage at that time? You know, I'll never know, but 12 weeks was a long time for an urgent referral for me.
And in terms of probably, Niamh, what's going through your head, and you know, you're probably reaching to Dr. Google, and everything gets blown up completely. You know, we can only begin to imagine.
Yeah, like I mean, I had no family history of breast cancer. I did my genetic screening. I'm not a genetic carrier or anything like that. I was 29 at the time. You know, it's not in my circle. Cancer wasn't in my circle, so it was the last thing I thought of. And when I eventually went in and got diagnosed, you know, the person that diagnosed me said, you know, you're lucky you came back. You know, a lot of people, because they had already, you know, 6 months previous were here, would have thought, oh, I'm fine, you know, but something wasn't right. And the fact that I had to wait 12 weeks, I wasn't at that time, you know, I thought, you know, I was just seen 6 months ago. This can't be it, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you trust in that, so.
Mick has got in touch. He says, I had an 11-month wait between diagnosis and treatment for prostate cancer. Mick's talking about hospital anyway. He says it's in the west of Ireland. Sharon is on the line. Sharon, how did you find access to treatment?
Hi, Andrea. Thankfully, didn't have to have chemotherapy. I was on I'm on an anti-hormone treatment. I'm 3 years into a 10-year plan. The issue I had with waiting was the treatment I'm on, it has quite severe side effects. It takes about 18 months to settle down. And once I was given the drug and obviously was discharged then from the cancer unit, I found it very difficult to get any support in the side effects. It's nausea, it's vomiting, it's severe ache pain, it lacks not being able to sleep. So I wasn't able to access any cancer support treatment or side effect treatment in the hospital.
You weren't able to get it. So that's
no.
Yeah.
So what happened, so and it is severe, as everybody knows it's on it. So what I had to do was, what happened then was I had a very severe reaction to it. I had to come off it and I had to have more surgery as a result of the effect the treatment had on my body. And after that, then I was put back on the treatment again. But luckily, I was able to access the Irish Cancer Society nurse and the nurse line there. I'm sure you're well aware of it.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Great support.
They're great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, after when I was back on the treatment, a very, very severe side effect, but it was impossible. Obviously, the cancer support nurses in the hospital are extremely busy. Mm. But thankfully, with the help of the Irish Cancer Society nurse line, they were able to talk me through what I could do and how to offset the side effects. And it really very quickly was able to get it under control and also put me in touch with a support group with women who were 18 years, 2 years further down the line. So, but really, I had to go and source that myself and was about 18 months into it before I was able to feel I had it under control.
Under control at 18
yeah.
months.
So
people are listening to you today, Sharon, and to Niamh and Ziva tell their stories. And it's the Irish Cancer Society who say these delays in cancer care for breast, lung and prostate patients are causing avoidable deaths. There is the flip side of this. And I know listeners will know people who had an entirely different experience. And that's what they're talking about with regards to this postcode lottery of care. Dara's on the line. Dara, I believe you had a totally different story.
Absolutely, totally different. I, like your previous callers there, found a lump when I was in the shower. And being a man, the furthest thing from my mind was breast cancer. So I left it just for about 3 days. That was about a 2-centimeter lump, a significant lump, and I knew it shouldn't be there. So I went to my GP in the Drogheda Medical Clinic. He felt that, he said, probably a cyst. He said, "Look, come back to me on next Thursday and I'll do an ultrasound and we'll send it off to Dublin." So I came back in on the Thursday, did an ultrasound and sent it off to Dublin. And I would say it was within 2 weeks, I was called up to the breast clinic in Dublin. Mm. And
so you were basically within, really, Dara, you were within that... that ideal time frame that they're talking about. You were one of the 95%.
Yeah. And I went up to get the results of the ultrasound and I was told there and then that I had to get a biopsy and a mammogram, which I thought was peculiar. So it was the next week I was over in the matter and I had a biopsy and a mammogram on the same day.
Mm.
And about 2 weeks later, I was called back to the breast clinic and they told me I had breast cancer.
So all in, it was how many?
About, from the time I went to my GP, I would say it was about 4 weeks before I was told I had breast cancer.
So from discovery to diagnosis, a 4-week period. And how are you doing now, Dara? You're doing...
I'm doing well.
Good.
Now.
Good, yeah.
I'm 5 years down the road.
Oh, great.
I'm doing very, very, very well.
Yeah.
I constantly check myself.
Yeah,
but I'm doing
you do
very
the
well.
Examinations. Good. It was good to hear. And John, I believe you had a similar experience. Is that right?
I did, Andrew. Yeah. In UHL, of all places, gets a lot of negative press, but fantastic experience. 2 days, I'm several years into the journey. And I cannot fault my care at all. Just last week, I had to reschedule a very short notice, got a rescheduled appointment within 3 days. And indeed, the follow-up from that will be within 2 weeks. And that has been my experience for several years and more with care in the Midwest. And that be it at the acute setting in UHL or indeed within the community setting as well. The community intervention teams in the Midwest have been extraordinarily helpful to myself in terms of the care that is provided.
They seem to, whatever they're doing it right anyway in Limerick and Waterford and some of the hospitals in Dublin, according to these figures today anyway, this analysis that they've carried out. And you're keeping well otherwise, John?
Yeah, keeping very well. One thing that pops up all the time are the cancer support centres and the invaluable help that they provide. However, the funding for those centres predominantly is from philanthropic sources, private sources, fundraising. And I think the cancer support centres, our public services, cannot operate without them. They're an integral part of our cancer support network and I think should be funded from primarily from the Exchequer and not from the community.
The public purse and campaigning and the level of, I suppose, charity work that goes on and goes into it. But it's an incredible effort what they do. I know you're talking about the nurse line, for instance, through the Irish Cancer Society, and also there the ARC Cancer Support Services, Patricia McKeever, that was there with us. John, Dara, Ziva, Niamh, Sharon as well. Listen, thanks a million for sharing those stories with us today, because just look, particularly when you're going through something like this, telling the nation about it while you're going through it, it can't be easy. So I appreciate that. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com if you want to tell your story about cancer's delays and what it means to people living with this sort of postcode lottery of care. Not a great way to describe it, but seems to be a fair assessment according to the Irish Cancer Society.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.